My starting verse this morning is Luke chapter 2, verse 19. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. You know, there's lots of places that we find in both the Old and New Testament where people of God got a revelation from God of something that was going to happen, of a promise that was going to be fulfilled, of something that God was going to do. And as we go through the study of the Scripture, we find out that there's a lot of different reactions when that happens. But I think that, at the conclusion of the matter here, it says that after the child Jesus was dedicated in the temple, and after two great old saints pronounced blessings over the child and some prophetic words over the child, the epithet of that entire sequence of events is Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. There's lots of things that you can do. There's lots of things that can happen when you get some indication from God of what He's going to do, whether it be a general promise, whether it be a specific promise, whether it be a general prophecy, whether it be a specific word for you in your situation. There's a lot of different things we can do with that word. We can go and tell anybody and everybody that we see what that word is. We can keep it to ourselves. We can file it away and never think about it. We can maybe go to a close circle of trusted friends and comrades and brothers and sisters in Christ and share it and ask for their clarification and their reinforcement and support. And there's probably times and seasons to do each one of those, but let's look at a few things here just to kind of paint a general picture of what happens there. In the book of Genesis, in chapter 18, is a story where a messenger from heaven stops by the tents of Abraham. And at this time, Abraham and Sarah are both old. They have given up hope on fulfilling the promise that God gave them regarding descendants as numerous as sands on the seashore and stars in the sky. They're not stupid. They understand biology. They're too old. They've even tried to do it their own way. And Ishmael has been born. But the angel, the messenger from God, shows up, and as he is giving Abraham the promise that the prophecy will be fulfilled, says, at this time next year I'll be back and you'll have a son. And the response from inside the tent is, Sarah laughs. Sarah laughs. And as we read what comes after that, we find out that that laughter is not missed by the messenger of God. And she's questioned on it. Why did you laugh? Well, why do you suppose she laughed? Unbelief. This is impossible. There is absolutely no way this can happen. You've got to be kidding me. I'm old. I can't have a baby. And Sarah, in her unbelief, lets that come out of her mouth, and she laughs. In spite of that fact, God fulfills His promise. But you can react sometimes when the word comes and you've struggled with the problem or the situation for so long and you just don't see any possible way for it to be fulfilled. If the word comes and says the solution's on the way, it's awful easy to say, yeah, right, sure, that's going to happen. Not. And that's what Sarah did. But like I said, in spite of that, God fulfilled the promise. Why? Not because of Sarah's faith or lack of faith, but because it was in God's plan that Isaac would be born. And sometimes in spite of our unbelief, God does it anyway. We fast forward up to Genesis chapter 25. And I'm actually going to read some of that for you today. But it seems that Rebekah has become with child. But it doesn't seem to be easy because there's something going on inside. There seems to be a struggle of some kind going on. And what happens is this. Chapter 25 of Genesis, beginning at verse 21. Now Isaac pleaded with the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord granted his plea, and Rebekah his wife conceived. But the children struggled together within her, and she said, if all is well, why am I like this? Anybody ever said that? If all is well, then why am I like this? What was she like? Well, she was having physical discomfort. She was having turmoil. She was wondering what was going on. Well, that sounds like everyday living, doesn't it? Except sometimes it's heightened, and here she has been barren for so long, and now she is finally with child, and there seems to be a war going on inside her. So she's concerned. So what did she do? She go ask all of her friends what they thought? Doesn't say that. Did she go out and seek out the local fortune teller to tell her what's going on? No. It says very clearly, here's this. So she went to inquire of the Lord. Well, that's a good thing to do. If you don't know what's going on, I know one who does. The only one who does. Anybody else can speculate. Anybody else might possibly get a word from the Lord, but the Lord Himself knows what's going on. If you're in turmoil, go to the source. Go to the Lord. See what's going on. And the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb. Two people shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. Now, we know what happens following this. The children are born, they grow, and with Rebekah's help and encouragement, Jacob, the younger, takes primacy over Esau, the older, for a couple of reasons. One is it was God's plan. Second is Esau didn't really care about such things. And apparently, Jacob did. But if we look at what went on and the fact that Rebekah had to kind of assist in manipulating the circumstances, it seems that maybe Daddy didn't know about the promise. Because he seemed to be a very traditional man. Even when it came time to give the blessing, he thought he was giving the blessing to the elder child. You know, everything was kind of massaged to make that happen. So did she hold that fact within her from her pregnancy to the adulthood of her sons and just keep it between her and God? Seems like she did. Because like I said, apparently if Daddy knew, he would have been much more suspicious when it came time to give out blessings and inheritances. Seems like she kept those things to herself and just her and God. You know, God had given her this specific prophecy before their birth that the two peoples, one will be greater than the other and the older will serve the younger. Well, that just wasn't the way of things. Society doesn't work that way. Fast forward, and this whole thing about Jacob and Leah and Rachel, well, it's not our tradition that the younger daughter should be married before the older. So a little a little wine and a veil, and Jacob wakes up married to the wrong woman. He thought, anyway. So, you know, we've got this idea that in this case, the secret was kept just between her and God. She may have told Jacob at some point. Bet you she didn't tell Esau. So, all right. How do you hold on to promises like that? Sometimes you just keep them to yourself. Let's jump into the New Testament in Luke chapter 1. Zacharias is serving at the temple. And the angel shows up and says, hey, Elizabeth, who's been barren all these years, is going to conceive and have a son, and you're going to call him John. And he's got this mission, this ministry. What's Zacharias' response? Doubt. How can this happen? What have you? And so what happens? He gets his lip zipped. Why? Well, sometimes when a revelation comes to someone and they begin reacting to it in unbelief and speaking unbelief, speaking unbelief, speaking unbelief, it compromises the plan. And I think there might be a very biblical premise here, or something that is a principle in Scripture, that sometimes your unbelief has to be silenced for the plan of God to move forward. Now, Elizabeth has a very different experience here, because, you know, in verses, chapter 1 of Luke, verses 23-24, it tells us that when Elizabeth conceived, she hid herself for 5 months. Why? Anybody got any idea? Why did she hide herself for 5 months? Well, you're too old to have that baby. You'll never successfully carry that child to term. You're too old. Maybe Elizabeth wasn't barren. Maybe it was Zacharias, and I wonder. All of the talk, all of the innuendo, all of the things that could have happened to dump negativity on the promise of God and the blessing that God had given, she just locks herself up, basically. She doesn't put it out in public. She doesn't shout from the rooftops. You would think someone who'd been barren her whole life would be running down the street screaming, I'm going to have a baby. And then all the neighbors would say, she's been in the wine again. Do you understand that many times if God gives you a specific and personal promise, one of the tools the devil uses to rob you is to have people tell you you're a nut. It can't happen. You don't deserve it. It's not right that this should be this way. People will tear you down, and sometimes with the best intentions. And sometimes it's not your enemies that do it, it's your friends and your family that do it. Good heavens, what do they think they're doing? God can't do that to them. I think they're silly. I think they're deluded. But you see, God had a particular plan. And the plan that included Zacharias and Elizabeth and that baby who would become John was part of a bigger plan. It was woven into the tapestry of the story of the coming of Jesus. Because Mary, now, let's shift to Mary. Mary is minding her own business in her room, perhaps dreaming about her wedding to come, and she has a visitor, an angelic visitor. And not just any run-of-the-mill angel, but an archangel, a messenger from heaven. And he greets her with the most extraordinary greeting and follows it with the most extraordinary prophetic pronouncement. You're going to have a baby. It's going to be the Son of the Most High. Mary's reaction? She asks a question. But she asks a question very different than Zacharias. Zacharias asks a question in doubt. Mary asks a question for clarification in faith. How can this be? I've not been with a man. How can I possibly have a child? You see, there's a difference between questioning God in unbelief and questioning God for clarification to secure and build up and strengthen your faith. Zacharias asked in unbelief. Sarah laughed in unbelief. Mary said, how can this be? Because it'll make it easier for me to process if I understand it a little bit. I believe what you're saying, but I don't understand how it can possibly happen. Do you see the difference in the questions? So Mary asked this question and gets an explanation. That the Spirit of God is going to overshadow you and you'll be with child. And then this same angel goes on to explain to her husband-to-be that, hey, nothing funny going on here. This is God's plan. Go ahead with the wedding plans. Now, what does Mary do? The angel gives her some reinforcement. Hey, you know your cousin Elizabeth, who's been barren her whole life? She's in her sixth month. Mary didn't know this because Elizabeth was hiding herself. So now Mary bundles up and goes to see Elizabeth. Why? First of all, they're sharing similar experiences. Secondly, because Elizabeth is family. And third, perhaps, is this is going to be just another mark to build Mary's faith. Is what the angel said true? I'm going to go see. And what happens when Mary walks into the house of Elizabeth? John in the womb, 6 months into a pregnancy. I can almost see a backflip, you know, like a standing backflip or something, you know. The baby reacts to that which Mary is carrying, which is Christ. It's the presence of God. The promise of God recognizes the promise of God. Hello, there's a principle for you. Those who are walking in the promise will recognize the promise. Those who are walking in a miraculous, prophetic state and season in their lives will recognize it in others. The Spirit knows Himself. Okay? And those who are carrying the Spirit will recognize the Spirit. Hadn't planned to go there, but that's pretty good stuff there now. We go on with the story, and presently the baby is old enough, and they take Jesus to the temple to be dedicated. And they take Him to the temple, and they offer the sacrifice for the dedication and purification of a baby and the purification of the mother after giving birth. And they run into a couple of folks. They run into Simeon. Simeon's an old man, and God's made him a promise. Remember what I said about the promise, recognizing the promise? God had told him he wouldn't go home until he had seen the promised Messiah. And the old man sees this woman carrying a baby into the temple, and his spirit immediately knows that his promise has been fulfilled. He got to see his Messiah. And he goes on and prophesies to Mary and to Joseph and to the baby. And along a little bit later, they run into Anna. And Anna does the same thing. These two venerable old servants of God. Anna has devoted herself to service in the temple of God for basically her whole life. She was married young, her husband died young, and ever since then she'd been serving in the temple. She was used to understanding and knowing the presence of God, even in the day in that temple when things just weren't the way they ought to have been all the time. Yet she knew, and she was devoted, and she was dedicated, and she pronounces this great blessing on the child Jesus. And there we have the passage that I opened with. Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. What do you suppose that means? She thought about it. Whenever they came to mind, she meditated on it and prayed about it. And maybe she wondered how it was going to be brought to fulfillment. And as she watched it happening, maybe she could see the hand of God moving. You wonder what she thought when Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem and debated with the doctors of the law. Doesn't surprise me any. I remember what they said. I remember the prophecies. I know who my son is. I know that the very presence of Almighty God is walking there. Of course he's going to debate with people who think they know the Word. He is the Word. And as the end came near, I'm sure that Mary could see the forces mustering against Jesus. And the words of Simeon and Anna came back to her, thinking about the fact that there was going to be pain for her in this particular fulfillment of who Jesus was. And you wonder, Mary, did you know? Did you know how it was going to turn out? Did you know that you were going to have the depths of great pain and the great joy of seeing him come back out of that grave? Did you know? After 30 plus years of keeping these things in her heart and pondering them, I think she had a special insight that we didn't have. You know, sometimes prophecies aren't fulfilled in a day. Abraham waited a lifetime for the fulfillment of his prophecy and only saw a tiny bit of it. Mary watched for her son's entire lifetime and held that prophecy in her heart and only saw the beginnings of what would be. I don't think we can ever really grasp the fullness, the greatness, the overall extent of God's plan. But if you've received a promise, whether it be general or specific, I want to give you just a little comparison here and maybe a little advice on how to handle it. If you receive this promise from God, there's different things. You know, it's natural to question, how shall this be? But the question is, are we questioning and laughing in doubt, or are we questioning to dig deeper and understand in faith? And the second point I want to make is this. When the word comes, unless there is a specific unction to share it broadly, keep it to yourself and ponder on it. Or take it to a very close and trusted group of spiritual people. I think that was part of Mary's journey to Elizabeth. They were both sharing a miraculous pregnancy. Elizabeth because of her age, and Mary because of the method of conception. Yet, as they go together, The child in the womb recognizes the child in the womb, and Mary and Elizabeth have this synergy of being able to understand each other and maybe lean on each other a little bit about how do you handle it when people talk. Because, you know, we talked about, you know, maybe people talking about Elizabeth. Don't you think they had a conversation or two about Mary? She came up pregnant before she was married. We all know how that happens. Somebody did something wrong. Yeah, miraculous conception. Yeah, right. You just hear the crowds, right? You can hear the naysayers. There's Mary. You know what she did. At least Elizabeth was old, right? If you take it to a small circle of people, the people that you know are people of faith, people that you know have a prayer life that will enable them to seek God on your behalf. That's a good way to be reinforced. That's a good way to be built up. But sometimes if you shout it from the rooftops, you're going to get rocks back instead of pats. Sometimes the unbelief of others can try to rob you of your faith and your belief. Mary knew how to handle it. Elizabeth knew how to handle it. Zacharias learned how to handle it. That story in itself, you know, is that a biblical principle? If you react to God's promise in unbelief, He'll shut you up until you believe it. There's a thought. If God doesn't do it, maybe y'all do it for yourself. Do you believe that I can heal you, Jesus asked? Hold your answer. I believe. Help my unbelief. You know, sometimes you can want to believe, but you just don't have it in yourself to believe. And that's where that circle of spiritual mentors comes in. They can help you to believe. Because, like Elizabeth, they've got a history. So I was where you are 5 months ago, and let me tell you. Somebody's walked the road you've been on. You may think you're the only one that's ever walked that road, but somebody's walked the road you're walking. And they've struggled with the promise that you're struggling with. And they can help. And God has a way of hooking people up. Who can help you? So my point today is this. It's one thing to receive the promise. It's another thing to hold on to the promise. Because sometimes it doesn't happen immediately. Sometimes it takes time. And sometimes there are challenges to your belief. Sometimes there are challenges to the fulfillment of the promise. Sometimes there are challenges after the fact. Remember, Abraham had to take Isaac up the hill to make a sacrifice. There was a real challenge to the promise after the fact. And Abraham and Isaac both came down off the mountain because God provided a lamb. What are you holding on to today? Are you looking forward to that day when you're going to get a victory over something in your life? Are you holding on to the fact that I have prayed and I have prayed and I have prayed for this family member and just maybe one day they'll come to the Lord, they'll come to that saving knowledge of Jesus? Maybe it's a health issue, maybe it's a family issue. What are you trying to hold on to today? I'm here to say this, if God made you a promise, He's in the business of fulfilling it. Don't let your doubt rob you. Don't let the doubt of other people rob you. Don't let the naysayers knock you down. But be aware that sometimes the path has potholes and ruts and bumps and bruises. But don't let go. Hang on. It's one thing to question in faith. It's another thing to question in doubt. Don't let the doubt creep in.